This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place. For the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams.
Doing a little investigation there during the break.
A little digging.
Our super producer, Chris Larson,
yeah,
who's up in Grand Forks yesterday, and he went into Widman's Candy Store, the famous Widman's Candy Store, which actually started in Crookston, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, Carol and the team, yep.
And George and Betty Widman.
Yep.
Had a store in Crookston and then ultimately in Grand Forks, okay? So the famous Widman's candy, chocolate-covered chippers were invented right here.
Oh, yeah.
Red River Valley potatoes
and
chocolate, and the, how you do that is unbelievable. I have somebody tell you, oh, yeah, no, I've had those all the time. I'm like, yeah, you had them. I'll send you some of them.
Honestly.
He sent me this junk in a, like, Pringles can. It was just gross. So these things are the best of the best. Anyway.
And the one trivia thing, as I understand, when they first started, it had to be Old Dutch potato chips. Old Dutch ripple chips. Because they held up.
The perfect chip, exactly right. The perfect chocolate, the dipping process, the whole thing. Anyway, long story short, Chris goes in, there's no chippers.
Uh-oh.
And I've just never heard of that.
I mean, Wait a minute.
Grand Forks, I would, if I wanted to get interviews in Washington, D.C., I would bring chippers. When I would go to the White House in the Bush years, they would like, where's the chippers? Same thing with the Clinton years. I got more interviews with chippers because it was the, anyway, long story short, I said to Chris, what is it, supply chain now? You can't get potato chips? Like, where's the chocolate? Guess what the supply chain disruption is? People.
Oh, sure.
It's people. Yeah. They just, they normally ramp up at this time and have people. They don't have enough people. And then, you know, there's the whole question of, okay, the people you do hire, are they as committed to it as the Widmans are? And, you know, it's just, it's amazing. So I had Chris call during the break and see if we could have Carol on to find out about what the supply chain issue was. And you call the Widman's candy store and says, sorry, no more orders. Can't take any more orders. And there's lines out the door at Widman's. Phenomenal story. Anyway, it's just what everybody's living through right now, that's for sure. Another hour, What's on Your Mind? I'm Scott Hinnon. Glad to have you along on the program today. We're brought to you in part by our friends at Action Movers. Stopped by to see the Hermans yesterday, and tell you what, I love sponsors who not only have a great product, but also support this program, and we appreciate that about the Hermans. So if you're moving, remember the folks that support us, Action Movers, and you'll get some of the lowest local move rates ever, and also just quality folks. I mean, and they're hiring all the time. So if you got a class CDL, talk with them. Fargo, Minot, Bismarck locations, 701-566-5532. Our next guest, Dr. Mike LeBeau, Chief Administrative Officer for Sanford Health, joining us to talk about the latest on COVID. Been hearing a lot about the Omicron variant of the virus that you know, is dominating news coverage, and I just want to sort of connect some of the things in the news with reality as far as the largest healthcare provider, or I think, believe the largest nonprofit healthcare provider in the country, and certainly the biggest in this part of the world, to see what they're seeing as well. Dr. LeBeau, welcome back to the program. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, same to you, Scott. Thanks for having me this morning.
So let's start with what we know about the Omicron variant. I saw some reporting recently that suggested some version of this, that it is contagious, maybe a little more contagious than the previous variants, but nowhere near as bad, you know, if you end up with it. In other words, less chance of hospitalizations and whatnot. Do we know enough to know that that's accurate at this point, or what do we know about it?
Yeah, I don't think we know enough, really, to to put a stake in the ground. But I think the early reports that you start to see, you know, across South Africa and even around that London area is that it is more contagious. But we are not seeing the same number of hospitalizations. And so when we say mild effects, I mean, that's a pretty vague description. But so far, we're seeing less people requiring hospitalization.
If it is more contagious, but does not put as many people in the hospital, is that fair to say that's maybe a good thing at this point to extend that herd immunity more?
Yeah, you read many, many reports now out, and so people are still guessing. But, you know, the hope is that, you know, maybe it spreads and it becomes, you know, less lethal and we learn to live with it better. And so more to come. I think we'll definitely know more over the next few months. I think that's one of the biggest challenges of COVID is we just get this rapid influx of new information, and you just have to take time to go through it. So I think over the next few months, we'll know more about it for sure.
Many people feel that way about the vaccines as well. And you and I have talked about this before, that, you know, we don't know enough and we rushed it. And, you know, the mRNA technology is new and whatnot. You've been very transparent on all the data at Sanford. You know, what do we know about the effectiveness of the vaccine, the leakage, the, you know, severe reactions, you know, the numbers now that we are this far into it, what do we know?
Yeah, we're seeing about, you know, consistently since the vaccines really took hold, probably March and April, you know, I think as you started to have the general public, you know, our data has showed, you know, number of people on the ventilators today across the system, we have roughly 50 people on the ventilators, of which two are vaccinated. And so if you look at the number of people requiring vent, it's, you know, a couple percent, 2 to 4%. That's been consistent since April. Our data is pretty consistent with what we see across the country that, you know, the vaccines have been very effective in preventing severe illness and they're effective in preventing hospitalization and death. You know, there's plenty of people that are vaccinated that are still getting the disease, and I think that speaks to the variants that we see, but, you know, it's still very protective of severe disease.
So a patient that would be on a ventilator, what I'd love to know was, you know, were therapies tried before they got to that point? Did they wait too long and come in with oxygen levels that have dipped? What kind of is the norm there?
So that's actually data that, you know, it's you know, 6 months worth of data, that's really difficult to collect. You know, a few things that we see is, you know, early on in the course of COVID, people across the country were placed on ventilators very early. I think a lot of it was just not knowing how to treat, and it felt like a safety net for these folks. I think as healthcare now, we do everything in our power to keep people off the ventilator, knowing that once you're on the ventilator, your chances of coming off, you know, decline over time. As far as treatments, I think, you know, we've tried lots of things. And as you look, best treatment we have for acute is still the antibody therapies, the IVs, if given in the right time. I think remdesivir is still given, and there's still benefit to it if it's used early. Really the only two that have really shown any benefit. We do not have, at least I don't have, Scott, the numbers of how many people have been treated, you know, with this. So.
How about ivermectin? How about some of the other ones out there? I mean, are there, you know, you hear from time to time people that cite a study in India that says, you know, literally they carpet bombed their numbers.
I think when you start to think about all of the other things that have been tried, ivermectin is an interesting one, right? It's relatively safe. I think the advantage of ivermectin is, you know, it doesn't show lots of, you know, bad side effects. The problem with ivermectin for treatment for COVID is, you know, in vitro or in the lab, you know, some of the perceived benefit is at very, very high doses that are, you know, really difficult to get. I mean, levels of drug in the system are difficult to get to. So we don't see a lot of benefits. I, you know, our physician organizations across the country, as you look at the data, it's just not something that people really want to give. It's just, you know, one more thing. I appreciate where people are at. You want to throw the kitchen sink at this, and, you know, but I think it's incumbent upon physicians to make sure that, you know, they're following the best data we have. And, you know, as of right now, it just doesn't show enough benefit to really be used.
But if somebody comes in and says, I want it, what does the doctor-patient relationship call for there? We lose you, Mike? Well, it seemed like we had a little white noise there. Why don't you see if we can reconnect? We're coming up on a break here anyway. Let me get Travis and Garrison here, who had a comment real quick. Garrison, Travis probably got half a minute. Go ahead.
How about the wind energy? Yesterday I was driving down the road and the wind towers weren't turning, and you had asked the lady about how many houses can be powered by this new megawatts of power going on by wind energy. But when they're not spinning, you're not powering anybody's home.
Well, obviously, right? Yeah, it's not contributing to the grid there, which is why you need all of the above solutions for sure. By the way, I didn't give any answer to that, but I did get it from Tammy, so I'll share that later. Thanks, Travis. More coming up on What's On Your Mind.
End of year means a lot to your farm business, and High Plains Apache may have that used sprayer you need, like a 2009 Hardy Commander 4400 pull-type sprayer, or a 2002 Red Ball 670 pull-type sprayer, or a 2018 Apache AS1030 self-propelled sprayer. It's the right place and the right time for used sprayers you're looking for. The 2022 models are ready for you, too, with product, parts, and service. End of year deals means an easier next year. High Plains Apache Sprayers at highplainsapache.com.
So DJ Coulter's my insurance agent, American Family Insurance. I want him to be yours, too. I really do. And DJ, tell folks what you do differently at DJ Coulter Agency with the business lines.
Well, Scotty, we sit down with business owners and we ask them a lot of questions to make sure that truly have their world protected. And you need to have not just your liability, you need to not just have your building, any assets in the building. Now we have cyber liability coming at us.
DJ Coulter, American Family Insurance, 235-6641, djcoulter.com. North Dakota Truck Wash, the Bakken's premier all-in-one location stop for all of your vehicle's wash needs. Commercial vehicles, standard semis, work trucks, pickup trucks, SUVs, and even motorhomes. Plus, you won't find better customer service anywhere. Find North Dakota Truck Wash conveniently located behind Senex in Stanley on the truck bypass. Open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday or call 628-1550. 628-1550. Online at ndtruckwash.com. My pals at Action Movers are now offering the lowest local move rate in North Dakota. It's the lowest advertised rate in 20 years. $99 an hour for two men in a truck. All you need to do is mention Scott. Not only the lowest local move rate, but the best movers in the state. They're professionally trained. They're background checked. Action Movers, North Dakota's best moving company since 1932. Family owned, veteran owned. Call now. 566-5532. 566-5532. Mention Scott to take advantage of this great offer.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
And we're back on What's On Your Mind, 20 past the hour. Question of the day, what does love your neighbor mean? How do you love your neighbors Christmas time all year long? Call 855-200-1776 to answer that question today. And we'll have another Christmas caller looking for 12 really special Christmas callers for the 12 days of Christmas. And you can text to and answer to that question. Many of you have. 701-237-1590. What's on your mind? Brought to you in part by our friends at Gateway Builders today. You're looking maybe for a couple of bucks to plop into something that maybe won't go to Uncle Sam and could go into something that, you know, could be on the balance sheet and the tax man will like. I would give them a call because in stock right now today, they have Brock Bins. These folks do it right at Gateway Building Systems. Number one Brock Bin dealer in the U.S., locally owned, turnkey, convenience, factory direct product, and not everybody has this stuff in stock with all the supply chain issues going on right now. They have grain bin storage in stock, seasonal discounts right now, gatewaybuilding.com or call 800-747-4499. Back with Dr. Michael LeBeau from Sanford. We'll take some questions here in a moment, too, if you have a question or comment for Dr. LeBeau. Our telephone number, 701-258-0550, or text me your questions. It's 701-237-1590. So we kind of got a bad signal there in the middle of you saying some things that are working, and then we started talking about some of the others that come up a lot in this program. Is the antibody infusion treatment still the most effective in the way of therapies, Dr. LeBeau?
Yeah, most definitely. We've had really good success. You know, you think back, it's getting to be a tried and true treatment. The only caveat is the sooner we give it, the better. We're running with supply, so we're getting people in. Anybody with risk, whether it's comorbid or conditions that already exist, diseases, we're giving that early, and that is showing a significant decrease in hospital need. So we're very happy with that. There's a new treatment. It's a prophylactic antibody treatment, but we're reserving that for the very high risk kidney transplants or the organ transplants, people with some active chemotherapy or certain diseases. And we're just getting started with that. And we look out on the horizon and we start to see the oral antiviral pills. And we're hoping that those will be a game changer. But like everything in COVID, we're just going to have to give it some time and see where we go with it.
We were talking about ivermectin when we got cut off and the doctor-patient relationship. So if somebody comes in and says, look, I want ivermectin. I want to try this. And, you know, there's a lot of reporting out there that sort of the FDA won't even look at it as a treatment for this. And, of course, it's been shamed by our own North Dakota Department of Health. But you have said, I think, very wisely that the most important thing, whether it's this pandemic or this variant or anything, that having a relationship with your doctor and being able to go in and say, I've heard this, what about that, talking through the risk, the reward of everything, is the most important thing, right? I mean, just having that relationship. So if you don't have a primary care doctor, you're flying blind, you know, and, you start an established relationship with a doctor and have these kind of conversations. But I have one, and he's a Sanford doc, and I love him, and I tell him about things I've read and heard, and he'll say, here's my take, here's your take, but he respects my opinion and what I'm wanting, and say, yeah, we'll do that if you want to do that, on whatever it is, right? So if somebody comes in with that strong opinion on ivermectin, I heard you earlier say it's safe, you know, what should the doctor do at that point when that patient wants that particular therapy?
That's the million-dollar question, and that's why I stand by my have a primary care physician. COVID is not the only difficult decisions that each of us have to make in our lives. You know, we have a lot of decisions we have to make about advanced care directives and what we would like done and what medications we're going to use and who better to have those difficult conversations with than somebody that you truly trust. The only way you get that is to get in and get your regular visits and develop that relationship. Every doctor is going to be different, and every doctor, you know, there may be some drug interactions you have to think about with ivermectin or not. And so it is so variable for each person that walks in that, you know, history, how you metabolize your medications, other medications you're on, whether it matches or not. And so it's a really complex conversation, and it's one that shouldn't be played out in the media, and it shouldn't be played out on social media. It should really just be, you know, the patient and that physician. And if you have that trusting relationship, you come together. And I appreciate what you say. all of our opinions should be respected, and we should be able to talk through these in the physician's office, just like we do other health care issues.
And I don't know the number of doctors in the Sanford Health System, but I'd imagine there's opinions all over the place. What is the protocol to them? What is the sort of the guidepost for doctors on that issue? You know, on any therapy, whether it be ivermectin or anything out there. What are they sort of when they pull out the rule book for doctors and the employment book? What is it they're supposed to do?
I'll tell you that from Sanford Health perspective, it's in the physician's hands. So there's nothing that would ever be written from, you know, our offices that say this is how we treat things. So it never comes from us. It always comes from the physician. The physician rule book is complicated like everything else. We have multiple sites. We have all of our peer-reviewed journals and, you know, our collective colleges, you know, what we specialize in, we'll have a group of experts that are reviewing, and they'll put the recommendations in, and then we get kind of a level of evidence. And so it's something that I think everybody looks through and everybody looks, but it really, like I said, it boils down to each individual physician.
You and I started talking about the vaccine data that we have now, and I remember early on a number of, across the Sanford system, X amount of doses of vaccine, and here's the serious cases. And a serious case is not being a headache, but I had to come back in from some kind of treatment. How are those numbers looking?
They're essentially the same. And, you know, it's if you look at all things, I mean, I tell people point blank, anything we put in our body has potential for complication, whether it's Tylenol or ibuprofen, whether it's aspirin or a vaccine. And if you're the unlucky one that has a bad side effect, it's a significant event. And I don't think we should ever downplay that discussion when we talk about anything that we put in our body. But this vaccine, the rates for serious side effects that require follow-up remain well less than 1%, and so it's still a very safe treatment option. It still shows to be the most effective treatment option, especially for severe disease. And so, you know, so far the data is really in its favor.
Dr. Mike LeBeau with us today on What's on Your Mind. I want to ask a couple more questions from our audience here. We have one related to ICU and how many are reinfections, so we'll take that on the other side of the break. I appreciate Dr. LeBeau. I appreciate doctors in general, whether they tell you, take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine, whether they say this therapy is good. I just, again, can't say enough to have that kind of relationship. To be able to sit across, the doctor's office or on the telephone as we are with Dr. LeBeau and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Is how we ought to return to dealing with major health issues, not on talk shows, not on television news programs, not on breathless reporting about this variant or that variant. And that's why I like a guy from Newtown, North Dakota, who's a kidney doc and saved a lot of lives. Our guest, Dr. Mike LeBeau. More after this on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away.
Hello, this is Mark Wagner with ND Estate Services.
I'm here, and I'm just asking one of my clients kind of what their experiences were doing their estate plan. Would you be willing just to share a couple thoughts on that, Mark?
I went into the experience without, I guess, just a very general knowledge from friends and coworkers as to, you know, what we really should be doing, but without much of a framework, and certainly no knowledge of the details involved. Mark was very helpful, presenting all the options, ultimately walking us through the whole process of setting up the system and challenge, because I don't live right here where my mom does. We see each other when I visit, so there was a lot of coordination involved, and he really helped us out with that, too.
Let us help you, too.
Call us now. You'll be glad you did. That's 701-318-0908.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As smash and grab criminals have been enjoying their lifestyle without many repercussions throughout many large cities in America, the Defund the Police movement started by Democrat leaders has had an adverse effect on society. Now, the mayor of San Francisco, California, has had enough. The Honorable London Breed.
It's time that the reign of criminals who are destroying our city, it is time for it to come to an end. And it comes to an end when we take the steps to be more aggressive with law enforcement, more aggressive with the changes in our policies, and less tolerant of all the that has destroyed our city.
On Tuesday, the United States reached a terrible milestone. Johns Hopkins University is reporting 800,000 Americans have now died from the coronavirus that started in China in late 2019. USA Radio News.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Feliz Navidad to you and yours, 28 before the top of the hour, and we'll continue with Dr. Michael Obo in just a moment, brought to you today by PetroServe USA. Home cooking, grab-and-go convenience. Get in there and get registered for the Bison Game Day giveaway, big game Friday. So another drawing, and if you've registered before but not this week, you're not in the drawing anymore. Get back into a PetroServe USA near you. Home cooking, grab-and-go convenience. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Mike Lebeau. I want to take some more questions, and we took an off-air call from Bill Twite. Bill was the author of House Bill 1514 that dealt with some of these therapies in the special session. Governor Burgum signed it. Hang tight, Bill. We'll get to you back in a second. But just wanted to finish on the on the vaccination rate. So bottom line, and I'm getting a number of questions on this, so I'm trying to summarize it. But bottom line, you're saying if you take, and you're talking about the Sanford Health System, but if we took every vaccine given, the total number of vaccines given, and then we take a look at, you know, okay, a blood clot here or a death there or whatever, that the number of the severe reactions like that track within the norm. I mean, it's not the norm for that person or that family, obviously, but it's no different than a severe reaction to any vaccine or, for that matter, any medicine. Is that what I hear you saying about that?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. So, and I think just that's an important thing. I think there's a lot of, I can think of incidents I've heard. Just heard about a Guard soldier died of a blood clot shortly after the, taking the vaccine. So you're going to hear those, and you're probably going to hear more of those just because of the sheer number of vaccinated individuals. But it doesn't mean there are more of them happening than normal. That's the data at this point, right? All right. Hope that clears everything up for everybody. So during the break, we were chatting Dr. Lebeau and Bill Twite, and Bill's concern was about when a patient says, "I want ivermectin," and how they end up getting it. Can you just summarize the last part of that question, Bill, so the audience can hear it, and then we'll give Dr. Lebeau a chance to answer it.
Okay. Thanks, Scott and Dr. Lebeau. My major concern is that if you get a local provider that has prescribed to his patient who has a good relationship ivermectin, for instance, and then a patient ends up in the hospital, unless that provider is part of the hospital situation, the authority of that prescription, even though the patient may have been on it prior to coming in, is no longer holds water at the hospitalist or the hospital board, as I understand it, takes over all medications beyond that point. And when I wrote this bill initially, we wanted the medical community involved in it so that there could be some correlation between the medications that an individual was on and the complications that might arise from ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or whatever the other situation might be. There was no mandate that everybody had to take these drugs when they came in. And yet there's a mandate that...
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to, you know, sort of get to your question there, Bill, because what I hear you saying is the protocol disrupts whatever previous patient-doctor relationship was there. If now at a place that's a different provider, is that happening, Mike? Is this a valid concern?
Yeah, I love this question, and I think it's one that should be discussed. And so I'm grateful that you bring this forward. When a patient enters a hospital, all of the outpatient orders get stopped. And so it's not necessarily that if you're not associated. If I'm a clinic physician at Sanford and my patient goes to the hospital, if I'm not in the hospital, whoever admits that patient has to write the active hospital medications. And that's where it gets fairly complex. If you're on a medication to lower blood pressure in the outpatient world and you come in with low blood pressure, you're not going to get that. If you're on a medication that's metabolized through the liver and your liver isn't working appropriately, those are held. And so those decisions, the hospital, you know, and it's not a hospital board. It's actually whichever the admitting doc is goes through these. And I think what you'll see in ivermectin is when you get into the hospital, you're adding many new medications. You're having some problems a lot of times with oxygen levels and low blood pressures. And so you're doing everything in your power to limit the amount of medications that your body needs to metabolize or break down because it gets complicated. And so I think that's actually, and I appreciate that question, it's one that we should really make sure. So when that patient then gets discharged, they restart as much as they can, and then they follow back up with that primary care physician. And so it's a pretty standard practice, and it's, you know, medications are looked at completely different on that hospital side.
Thanks for the call, Bill, and I'm sure you can connect with Dr. LeBeau and the team at Sanford to further vet that out a little bit. I certainly, for one, appreciate the fact that you helped bolster that patient-doctor relationship discussion by adding a 1514 and the governor signed it, became law. I think that's, again, we've sort of gotten to this contentious thing where, you know, it becomes, a screaming match both ways. It's just not fortunate at all. So I appreciate these dialogues with Dr. LeBeau. Another texter wanted me to ask, what percentage of COVID-infected people in ICU are reinfections? If you're able to track whether they are vaxxed, they know how many had a prior positive test. I've asked the North Dakota Department of Health for this info, but they won't provide it.
You know, it's a fantastic question. Unfortunately, I don't have that data, Scott. I'm not sure of what that answer is. And I, you know, it's something that, you know, in fairness, I don't know that I've thought about. And, you know, but it is an interesting question. And I think as time goes on, you know, it's like influenza. What's the odds that you've had, you know, influenza a second time? And each passing year that goes by, I do think it is something that we need to keep in mind when we start to think about treatments and, you know, what do one more dose of vaccine look like? And so I think it's a good question and one that, you know, as we continue to go through it, we'll have to track.
But again, as someone that is a doctor and a dad and saved a whole lot of lives, you know, I love your story, Mike. I do. I repeat it often, you know. Enrolled member at Standing Rock, Newtown, North Dakota native. It'll grow up late night and end up saving lives as a Sanford doc, and now you're part of the administration, the leadership of the whole system. I feel like I have a doctor-patient relationship with you, and you're not my doctor, and I'm not your patient, but these conversations are helpful. And, you know, your advice is to say, the worst of what can come from COVID is best avoided with a vaccine. That's what you're telling people to, and it goes back to where we started, I guess, on the data of 50 people on ventilators today, and two of those are vaccinated. 48 had not been vaccinated and are going through the worst of the worst. So am I summarizing that correctly?
Yeah, I think that's correct. And it goes back to that, you know, that one doc you truly trust, You know, it's, you shouldn't trust me hearing me on the radio. You should know somebody that's got your best at heart. And so for me personally, when I would visit with my patients, as I visit with family, that's what I tell them. And I suspect that's what most primary care physicians will tell. But each of us has to weigh our risks and benefits and make that decision for ourselves.
Last question I want to ask you is just how the staffing issue is coming. And I continue to believe that we've got to get sort of a Marshall Plan for nurses, you know, just whether it's this pandemic or the next one or whatever, the idea that we have beds that are unstaffed, especially at a time when we need every bed, how those staffing numbers are looking. What percentage system-wide of your hospital beds that are staffed right now have COVID patients in them?
Roughly, you know, about 1 in 7. You know, roughly is kind of where we've sat. So you're talking about, you know, up to 20%, 15 to 20% of our beds. So, like I said, we've talked about this. It's a lot of our capacity is still catching up from last year. COVID is a part of it. I'm under the belief that, you know, we're managing through COVID. I don't see it as the COVID crisis now, but obviously it adds a lot of strain and stress to our entire society, each of our personal lives, and to our hospital frontline staff and patients. So, you know, it's definitely here. It's something that, you know, we're living with whether we like it or not.
So we don't call COVID a crisis. We call it something we're living with. And it's important to, you've always said, look, the biggest threat to rural health care would be shutting down the economy, right? I mean, all of a sudden now we have less rural health care coming out of an entity like that, right?
I think shutting down our economy, not getting your regular medical visits. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, as life goes on and we do our best to mitigate or decrease our risk that we're living with and, you know, continuing to follow up.
Is it a crisis that you have a lack of nurses, you know, that you can't staff every bed? Is that a crisis?
Oh, most definitely. And it's as you continue to lose nurses, as you continue, and it's not just nurses. I mean, I think it's important, and it's not even just health care. But as we continue to decrease the number of people that are able to work, the percentage of work that each individual does goes up. And so, you know, the high numbers are on the backs of, you know, a select few that are stepping up. And I couldn't be more proud of our healthcare staff, you know, across the state. I mean, our state has stepped up, and that frontline staff continues to, you know, give admirable levels of care, you know, despite the challenges.
What would get you out of a crisis related to nurses to staffing? What's the solution?
I'm excited to recruit North Dakotans. I think we got to get in front of our kids. I mean, this is a crisis for a lot of folks in North Dakota, and we have to convince people that what a great place to live, what a great place to raise a family, and we're lucky to be here. And how do we convince an 18-year-old that that's the case and a 25-year-old that that's the case? Many people come back, but how do we convince them that what they, you know, the best quality of life they're going to get is right here, right where we're at?
Yeah, that's a great point. Anything else you want to share before we let you go?
Nope. If I could just say one thing, you know, as we think about, you know, going through the holidays, I wish everybody well. And I really hope that we can find comfort with each other and, you know, back to that relationship. And we can have these conversations, you know, where we respect each other's opinions and really get to what's best for all of us.
Can't go wrong with that. That's for sure. Dr. Mike LeBeau, Chief Administrative Officer, Sanford Health System. Appreciate your time very much. Hope you have a great holiday right back here in North Dakota, right? The office might be in Sioux Falls, but home's in North Dakota.
You bet. Thanks, Scott.
All right, good to talk to you. Dr. Mike LeBeau, our guest on What's On Your Mind. Always appreciate those conversations and also the candid and forthright questions that come in from these conversations, too. Monty in Tioga wants to tell us how to love our neighbor.
Got breaking news here, Scotty. Christmas has been canceled.
Uh-oh.
We'll give you details next.
Oh, boy. Plus, we got to get up to UND, too. Stay tuned.
At Collins & Cronk, Raymond James, we are privileged to have our clients let us be a part of their lives. They share their families with us and their close friends. We get to help them develop their dreams and curb their fears. We are so grateful to have this honored and important role in their lives. This holiday season reminds us once again how important family is, and we are thankful to be a part of yours.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Collins & Cronk. And a prosperous new year.
Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Collins & Cronk is not a broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James.
A trusted energy partner, a leader in the Bakken. That's Hess. A global independent energy company leading the way in oil and gas exploration and production in North Dakota. Working with suppliers, landowners, communities, applying new approaches and innovative technologies for operating safely and efficiently and protecting the environment. Hess. Working hard to make a positive impact on the lives they touch.
Hi, Gus here from Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North. Due to the lack of the moisture in the soil, we've been experiencing more calls regarding foundation movement. Lack of moisture causes soil to contract and pull away from your foundation. If you notice dirt pulling away from your home, you'll need to make sure that you don't have bigger issues. Cracks in your sheetrock or outside walls, sloped floors, sticking doors and windows. Contact us today at 701-280-7038. Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North, your complete foundation experts.
PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better with the lowest price fuel around and lots of choice at the pump. Plus, great deals all month long, like any size coffee or cappuccino, 49 cents. Pizza Corner Pizza, 2 for $11. Old Trapper Deli Sticks, $10.99. Energizer batteries, any size, a buck off. And ball caps and queen size blankets, $5 off. Plus, the 4 for 4 deal, pizza, 2 cookies, 20 ounce drink, $4. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann Buick GMC.com. The lot is not empty. Over 80 pre-owned with many trucks and SUVs, specially tagged for the 12 days of Christmas sale. Other dealers are marking them up or marking them down. Take advantage of some of the lowest financing offered in years, payments to fit every budget, and of course that free lifetime powertrain warranty on most vehicles. Find out more during the 12 days of Christmas sale. Say it five times fast. It's SchwannBuickGMC.com.
Did I hear in breaking news Christmas was canceled? What's that about?
No reindeer. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer found better paying jobs. Nixon and Comet retired.
Okay.
The elf made the Cupid wants to work from home. Donner and Blitzen don't want to work just to cover their daycare. And believe it or not, Rudolph refused to get vaccinated, so he was fired. Santa had
talk about a supply chain issue.
That's what I was saying.
It's a human supply chain issue, right? Yeah. Exactly right. Monty in Tioga, a contribution on our question, how do you love your neighbor? Lay it on me, Monty.
I believe the best way to love your neighbor is when you can see a need, you go help them with that need. and don't hold your hand out.
That's why I want to move to Tioga. Right there. That's how they think in Tioga. Oil capital of North Dakota, home of Nesset, one of the great North Dakota companies. So bully for the future of that great oil and gas industry. Monty, God bless you. You're in the running for sure, and some great text, too. We'll take answers to that question through Charlie Kirk, Clay and Buck, whatever you're listening to here on the What's On Your Mind radio network, okay? 855-200-1776. Last guest of the show is Mark Askelson. He is the director of the Research Institute for Autonomous Systems. Translation, the really cool factor. The really cool stuff. Mark, welcome back to What's On Your Mind. How are you?
Hey, Scott. Thank you so much. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I know enough to be dangerous because I saw that Senator Hoeven had done an update about UND's involvement with something related to a military appropriation. But I love the fact when one of the great schools of the Upper Midwest, the University of North Dakota, is helping our good men and women have the latest, greatest technology. What do you got cooking in the lab?
Yeah. Hey, thank you for that great question. So these ground vehicles are used in a lot of different things, right? Primarily Army applications. And so we formed a team, basically, not just UND, of course. Applied Research Associates is one of our key players there, and said, you know, let's develop an augmented reality capability for the Humvee. Now, at the end of the day, we hope that this can be translated to a lot of different ground vehicles. And, you know, it's like a heads-up display kind of capability. So, you know, people might be seeing some of that in their automobiles right now. That's what we're trying to do. Of course, that can really enhance people's mission. You know, whether it's in the United States and they're, you know, you have a convoy going to execute something, we can help them, you know, stay more safe. Or if they're in a battlefield environment where they're supporting battlefield operations, we can help them do their job and keep them safe.
So give me a practical example of, you know, if I have this, will I never hit a deer again? Or like, well, what would it do?
Well, I'd love to promise that to you. But those are some of the ideas, right? So for instance, think of you're in some kind of remote area and you need to go from point A to point B. You can drop point B down, and with that display system, it can tell you, are you headed to point B or not? You know, other examples might be things like hazards you might encounter. So we're working environmental hazards, weather hazards, and then we can flash things up on the screen and say, there they are. One of the challenges with this, when you want to do augmented reality, is you really have to know very accurately where you are and where you're pointing. And that's, you know, that's why working as a team, you know, we have tremendous capabilities across campus, and the different colleges that are helping rise with this, whether it's engineering or aerospace, arts and sciences. But in addition to that, our other teammates like ARA, Applied Research Associates, that, you know, they are absolute experts at getting that accurate solution. It's very hard to do, it turns out. So, there's a lot of different things you can do with this technology.
And, you know, we have some of the best technology in this space as a United States military in the entire world, so much so after that mess in Afghanistan of leaving, you know, equipment behind. And that was down to, you know, like pens and papers and piles of cash. But reports are what our enemies, China and others, were harvesting the most was the night vision goggles and some of this technology, right? So our Department of Defense, our military, have the most sought-after stuff, this cool stuff in this space. Am I right, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we are in an innovation race with our peer competitors. And you can see it, you know, whether you're looking at this kind of technology and augmented reality, or if you're looking at space, you know, basically whoever can innovate is going to be the ones that come out better. And so we have traditionally been very good at that. And I think the United States military is really understands what we have to be able to do and is doing a lot of great things to make sure that innovation happens. And, you know, we at UND are you know, doing everything we can to help with those challenges.
Yeah, and so are your students, right? They're rolling up their sleeves, and they're part of changing, you know, the military technology capability for the better. It doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't, right? I mean, we're so fortunate to have, you know, I oftentimes talk about this with the North Dakota ecosystem and how fortunate we are to have the leadership, you know, whether it's at the, you know, at the DC level, or at the state level, or a little more local, whether it's university or city. We are really fortunate. And then when you go past that, we just have some incredible skill sets on campus and people who understand very real and applied problems and understand how to develop solutions to them. They understand how to work as a team, and they understand, you know, where we're trying to go with this. And
so we love it.
It's hard to beat that.
It is. Future higher education happening at UND. Mark Askelson, director of the RIAS program. Thanks for the chat today. Take care, sir.
Thanks, Scott. Really appreciate it.
See you tomorrow, folks, and what's on your mind. God bless.
North Dakotans know a thing or two about energy and the environment. Our electricity rates are some of the lowest in the nation, and we are among only 17 states that meet all federal air quality standards. Coal has always been a big part of our energy success story. As the most resilient source of power, it keeps our electricity affordable and reliable, provides high-quality jobs, and boosts our economy. The coal industry in North Dakota accounts for more than 13,000 good-paying jobs and $5.4 billion in economic impact. Lignite also plays a pivotal role along with oil and gas revenue, providing nearly $1,600 per student to districts across the state. We know that to continue our regional prosperity, we need an all-of-the-above energy strategy that includes coal to make sure our homes and businesses have the electricity they need when they need it. Learn more at www.lignite.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.